I remember when my friend James, a former monk and musician from my religious community, got married. He'd been introduced to Lyra by her friend who'd spotted him at a Hare Krishna event in Germany. He fell head over heels in love. He'd look at her all doughy-eyed and so loved up. And then eventually, on a bright afternoon in July 2015, in a small house converted into a Hindu temple located in the suburbs of South London, they held an intimate Indian wedding ceremony with a handful of their nearest and dearest. I'm Bhavisha Patel and this is Love and Labour, a mini-series where I look at some of the big ideas from the past that got us to where we are today and the consequences these ideas are having on present-day relationships. Lyra, encouraged by the Hare Krishna teachings, wanted to be a stay-at-home housewife. And so that's what they did. A decade has passed since, and I was amazed to discover that Lyra's experience mirrors the findings of Betty Friedan's research from 70 years ago.
I feel depressed doing it, to be honest.
Really?
I don't even enjoy it anymore. I used to enjoy it a lot. I have to force myself doing little things. Cooking is just like, it's so difficult now.
I've stumbled across a framework that I think will help Lyra and James, and I've dropped Lyra a voice note about it.
I came across a solution called Fair Play, and I was wondering if perhaps you were interested in going through it.
She said she'll check it out and ask James. There's also another reason why I think this is important for them to go through. Housework is pushing Lyra to the edge, and it's having devastating consequences.
I find it really frustrating, and to be honest, I see it absolutely everywhere. Lots and lots of households live like this, and it's totally frustrating. I think, just my opinion, but lots of divorces that we see, unfortunately, are caused by this problem.
Did you get to that point?
Yeah, that happened to us as well. At some point, I was thinking about this maybe quite a few times.
I feel sad, stunned, and somehow not surprised hearing this, because I've spoken to other women who have experienced exactly the same thing. Eve Rodsky, the creator of the Fair Play framework, has also had a similar experience, and she's written about it in her book.
After our second son, Ben, was born, my husband sent me a text that said, "I'm surprised you didn't get blueberries." I was a lawyer at the time, and that text sent me into a spiral, crying on the side of the road. Not really understanding what was happening to me, but having a very private reaction to the fact that I was the fulfiller of his smoothie need.
Eve and her husband Seth had always had an equal relationship within the home. But after they had children, everything changed.
What I wish that I had known was that women shoulder 2/3 or more of what it takes to run a home and family, regardless of whether they work outside the home, and that men do 5 to 15 hours a week less housework and unpaid labor after children come. So I think if I had known that dynamic, that my equal partner, the person who I thought supported me, was a feminist man, was going to become so assumptively gendered, I would have done my life differently. And so ever since then, I was on a quest to understand what happened to me. And that's really where Fair Play came from.
Eve thinks she's failing as mother and partner because she isn't able to do everything she needs to. So she searches online for a solution. It's 2011.
There was no ChatGPT. There was barely an iPad, no social media except for Facebook. So there was really nobody talking about these issues. So I did what society told me to do, which was make a list. It's called the Should I Do spreadsheet. It was 98 tabs on Excel with 2,000 items of invisible work on it. I was asking women, what do you do for your family or your partner that's invisible that takes more than 2 minutes?
For the first time, Eve doesn't feel alone. She feels a sense of community.
I would have a tab on the bottom that said medical and healthy living, and women would respond back, "I see you have doctor's appointments and vaccines and administering medicine, but I don't see sunscreen." And so I'd be like, "Oh yeah, add sunscreen." And then I'd put like, "Oh, 2 minutes." And then another woman would weigh in and say, "You still need 30 minutes for the chase." And I'd say, "Oh yeah, 30 minutes for the chase."
Then finally, 9 months later, she completes the list, and it's one that she's proud of.
I end up sending it to Seth, and I don't get the response I wanted. I got a complete rejection of this idea of the spreadsheet.
And this is when Eve has her aha moment.
Okay, lists don't work. So what if systems do? And I knew how to create systems for family dynamics. I'm a lawyer that works for families in organizational management. The home is an organization, just like the family business is, just like a family foundation is. And once I understood that the home was an organization, I felt that I could start to attack the home using organizational management principles that I had developed over a decade with the families I worked for.
Eve develops Fairplay, a boundaries system and communication framework. As she researches the systems part of the framework, she finds an astonishing insight that explains why women feel overwhelmed.
So the question I asked was, how does mustard get in your refrigerator? Women who are noticing that their second son, Johnny, wanted yellow mustard with his protein, otherwise he would choke.
Women would notice a problem at home and come up with a specific solution.
Men, they were going to the store to go buy the mustard and they're bringing home spicy Dijon every time.
They thought they just needed to buy any mustard, not specifically yellow mustard.
And then women were losing trust because men were not accountable for their choices. That's typically what happens when you break up conception, planning, and execution. It's just not a helpful thing to have somebody executing on your vision anytime because they have no context.
I touched base with Lyra a couple of days after I sent her my first voice note, but Lyra hadn't spoken to James about the idea yet. He had come back from work tired and stressed the night before, and she felt that it wasn't a good time to ask him. So she promised to ask him later the next day. So I checked in again the following day and she tells me he's overwhelmed because of work. I'm giving up hope at this point that they'll do it, but Lyra insists that she's still keen. And then finally, a couple of days later, I receive a voice note from Lyra. She's managed to speak with James.
He's interested, but he said maybe not now because he's a bit overwhelmed, actually a lot overwhelmed. And he said, I just don't have energy to just to do things that someone tells me to do. And sometimes I just want to come home, relax. He has new manager, his manager changed, and he's always under pressure. He also have some given lessons during the week. And yeah, he wants to come back home and just watch TV, Netflix or something, and just switch off. And in general, maybe not at the moment, not the best time. Even though I really want to try it, but maybe we can do it later with him. I don't know. So yeah, sorry about that.
I feel gutted for Lyra. It's great that she's being sensitive to James's work situation, but is she just accommodating a poor excuse? Will she ever see the change that she wants? Eve Rodsky, creator of Fair Play, has seen this before.
The top four reasons that women were not entering Fair Play were because A, they were saying, my job is more flexible, so I should be doing more unpaid labor. Or they were saying, my husband makes more money than me. They were saying that in the time it would take me to tell Seth what to do, I should do it myself. Or they were saying, yes, we're both two colorectal surgeons, but my partner is better at focusing on one task at a time where I can find the time. So what I realized was the boundary that was being breached was that women did not understand that they deserved agency over their time use.
Eve's research shows that women are conditioned to be partners, parents, and professionals. She asked them how they would feel about spending time on their own desires and ambitions. For example, having 10 hours of leisure time while their husbands take care of the cooking, cleaning, and kids.
Women got very uncomfortable in those situations. Women are never told to ask for what they need. And so what happens is this idea of guilt comes up a lot. Well, I feel guilty. But really what most women are feeling is not guilt. What they're feeling is that they're anticipating other people's discomfort when they set a boundary. And so they don't do the thing because they're afraid their child's going to be upset, their husband's going to be upset, their boss is going to be upset. And then that's what causes a real problem, is that because women are conditioned to anticipate other people's discomfort in advance, they shut themselves down for setting that boundary.
What came to mind is a couple in this documentary, before they got married, it was agreed that they'd have traditional roles where she is at home with the kids and her husband goes to work. So now she's basically regretting it.
In our research, over 10 years, that's the most unstable marriage. unless there's a strong religious tie because of the resentment of the women and then just the power dynamic of the man. I hate that relationship structure.
It's interesting because they are from a religious background and that did inform their role choice.
Yeah, so that's it. So if God is in the mix, then typically that woman will stay, even if she's upset and resentful and sad. And that makes me even sadder, if that's a word. For those women. The problem is a lot of women get themselves in these situations because they think they want these traditional roles. They're getting into a horrible arrangement where they're making their husbands' lives and then they have no power. So that man will never come to the table unless that woman, again, set her boundary and said, I'm leaving. Like, it would have to be that strong of a, I'm out of this marriage unless something changes. And look, to be fair to that man, she agreed to this role, right? And so now she wants a change. But again, any generous man and any woman who has boundaries would say, okay, so I agreed to something before I had the full information. So now I need you to come back to the drawing board with me. Like, this is not going to work. So some men are willing to do that, others are not.
Hearing this sends shivers down my spine. When I started this journey, I wasn't expecting that housework could actually end marriages. So I'm shocked to learn that in a Harvard Business School study of 3,000 couples, 25% cited housework as being the main reason for divorce.
The ultimatum sounds harsh, but what we're saying here is I'm willing to invest in communication with you for you to understand and empathize with what I'm going through and for you to try a system. We're not saying to you, you have to change your whole life. You have to take on all the housework. We're not saying that. We're asking you to sit down at the table to look at a system to make our lives more efficient, more organized, to value both of our labor. If that person is not even interested in trying out a tool that can make their life more efficient and possibly their partner more happy, then that's to me when you have to leave.
Eve herself got to a point where she felt she had no other choice but to give her husband an ultimatum.
I kept taking my law firm hours down and down and down because Seth's job was getting more successful. But the real problem was I had to say to Seth, not again, I need help with the children. It was, you have 3 hours after the kids go to bed to check SportsCenter, work out, finish a PowerPoint deck, where I'm doing things in service of the home until my head hits the pillow 3 hours after you go to bed. And I'm no longer willing to live like this. And I'm going to go with what I see as a lot of liberated women telling me is life-changing. And that's three words, court-ordered custody. And I think once I said that to Seth, that's when things changed. I think people misunderstand me, where they think, oh, fair play didn't work because this woman left her marriage because of it. I'm like, no, no, no. It worked perfectly. Fair play is about clarity. It will help you stay in that relationship, but it also can do something extra powerful, which is allow you to break free from what you thought was normal. And I'm here to tell you that you don't have to live like that anymore.
Divorce does seem like an extreme measure. And although this option might not be for everyone, I can see how having the responsibility of taking on everything that happens within the home with no help from your partner can feel like a burden and brew into feelings of hurt and resentment. I asked Lyra why she and James are still together.
The main reason is our child. She's still quite young and I think if we divorce, I might go back to Russia and then she and her dad will be separated. And in another point, like, we don't hate each other, we still like to hang out with each other, and when we don't have arguments about housekeeping stuff and who should do what, we're still kind of enjoying our life together.
So far on this journey, I haven't spoken to any men and I'm keen to get their perspective. I've reached out to Jack Watson, who has a rather intriguing job title. He is an invisible labour coach and he's tried out Fair Play. He's also a content creator. Jack fell in love with making YouTube videos in June 2017. He was a math teacher at the time and he started making life skill videos for his students.
Along the way, I got married. We bought a house. I convinced her that we should get a multifamily house and have renters rather than getting a nice easy condo with less opportunity for investment, but way less maintenance. And as we were renovating a ton of it, my wife and I, Alyssa, we started falling apart because I was spending so much time on YouTube and not this giant project that we had just bought. So in that, we ended up getting separated, having everything to lose and realizing, like, okay, YouTube, it can't be a priority if I want my marriage to be a priority too. And although I didn't seek out help back then, I did know that I needed behavior change if things were going to work between the two of us. What I didn't have language for then was I was putting all of the mental load onto her for this work, for all the minute things that needed to be chosen in that.
A couple of months later, they got back together. And thanks to some inspiration from his students, he realized he could make content quicker using TikTok.
I can do this without throwing my marriage away in 10 minutes a day instead of 60 to 90 minutes a day. And 2021, her child was born, and I started talking about fatherhood on TikTok.
Very quickly, 50,000 women started following his account, and they encouraged him to read Fair Play.
So I started reading it, started giving myself reflections on the method itself.
And Zach starts to notice where he's adding mental load for his wife.
I started recognizing moments where I could be answering questions or giving her multiple choice and or choosing an answer for her so that she can even opt out of the decision making for the most part.
After 3 months of making these videos about mental load, women started reaching out to him, asking him for help explaining these things to their husbands. And today he's helping 70 men and couples as a full-time coach.
I would say 90% of the people that I work with are facing possible separation, divorce. I think when they realize they have everything to lose by not considering growth in a skill that their partner has been asking them for a long time, I've yet to see people make changes. Similar with me, when we were separated, a lot of women are being pushed to the edge of saying things like, if something doesn't change, we might have to consider changing the way that our lives are lived in the next couple of months. There's a handful of the men that I talk with in my community that have had that semi-ultimatum conversation around, I don't know what the future holds if I don't learn these skills.
And what would you say has been the impact on your relationship?
From a holistic approach, like, I feel like I contribute more to our house and there's less guilt that I walk around with all day in feeling like I'm not doing my fair share. We're still working on how we can consistently show up fairly.
Communication has saved Zach and Elisa's marriage. Perhaps that's where Lyra and James need to start. Although they are together, their relationship is still on the line.
Has it impacted how much you love him?
Yeah, to be honest, in many points you just think, oh my God, I just got another teenager. I've micromanaged in every tiny single step. And basically another 1,000 things like that per day. It's just overwhelming and seriously, it's not sexy.
This journey has been sobering and it's brought me clarity. I've been told from a young age that housework is women's work, and I've rebelled against being the sole person responsible for it all. But I'm seeing that women around me, sadly, are in this position. Women like Lyra, whose story shines light on the damaging consequences that the pressures of housework have on relationships. But then there are those like Eve and Zach, whose stories show that when love is prioritized, change is possible. Perhaps love will finally be the power that will change this centuries-old idea. Housework is not women's work. There are a set of tasks that need to get done, and they can be tackled together as a couple.